director at Haven. We are blessed to have him and his family in so many ways.
Go ahead and pray for us, man.
Well, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you as we see the theme that's being shared here, this power of prayer and the impact and the gift that it is that you have given us. I do pray for Pastor Ken, Lord, as he shares out of your word. We pray, Lord, that you would stir his heart, that your words would flow from him. Lord, we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit in here, and we pray that you would move on the hearts of everybody in here today. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Luke chapter 11, page 16-13. Thank you, Bob. Excellent. Timothy Keller, how many of you know that name? Neat pastor. 1989, moved his family to New York to plant a church, Redeemer Presbyterian Church. 10 years later, 1999, his wife had Crohn's and not doing well at all. And then he was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, I think it was. And then 9/11 happened. Okay? And his wife said, suppose I had a disease that could kill me and I had to take a pill every night. And if I missed it just one night, I'd die. That's how I feel about prayer. We got to start praying together. Today, Redeemer Presbyterian Church has around 6,000 people worshiping. And they've planted 250 churches around the nation because somebody got desperate. We're going to read in Luke chapter 11 here. It's 6 months before the crucifixion, 6 months before the resurrection. And things have heated up. Jesus isn't safe in Jerusalem anymore. He isn't safe in Judea anymore. And Peter has just said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you got it, but you got it from the Father. And I'm going to go to the cross. And Peter goes, whoa. And they're not quite getting it. But look at one thing that they are getting. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, actually keep saying, Father. In fact, read that Lord's Prayer with me together. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. And I'll continue. Then Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. And back then, bread loaves were small. Lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he's his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, read that last half of the sentence with me, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's pray again. Father, in Jesus' name, we need the Holy Spirit to come down. We can't do this on our own. And Lord, please put in our heads, our hearts, that you are the King and you have a kingdom and you have power and rule and reign. And you're also a friend and you're also a good, good father. And Lord, help us to both strive and rest. Help us to both be desperate, but also depend. And it is, Lord, I love you. You're so big, and your word is so broad and good. Each of us here, I bet, feel like we need to do better at prayer. So help us to be like the disciples and with some urgency say, Lord, teach us to pray. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So whether a few stay for prayer meeting today or the prayer revival or a lot, may the Holy Spirit come down. Amen. And just a little announcement, there's food after the service. Wasn't it nice to put it back an hour of the service? Last night was so much less stressful than usually. Anyway, and there's plenty of food. So even if you didn't bring anything, please, we have a lot of egg casserole left over from yesterday. Do you know that people pray around the world? Every culture, every language, people pray. Buddhists have little prayer wheels that they spin around that have little requests on it, and they believe that sends out compassion and justice out into the world. Hindus get into the lotus position and put their hands up and go, They're seeking to get one with the universe. Muslims get down five times a day with your knees, hands and forehead on the ground to show their submission to Allah. Jews pray three times a day. Christians pray usually at morning, at night, meal times, different gatherings. Do you know atheists pray? Research, 30% of atheists admit that they pray. Why is that? Because God made us to walk with him in a garden where we could talk to him face to face. And this world is big and bad and it's beyond us. And we need a super higher power. I don't care what you call it. And yes, I do care what you call it. His name's Jesus. And we are made to connect with the eternal. We have the questions. He has the answers. We have the weakness. He has the strength. And so these disciples, they just have 6 months left. They don't know they have 6 months left, but they're finally kind of getting, Lord, teach us to pray. John's disciples did. You need to. Now, why did they say that? We don't know. I have a whole bunch of P's to put in your bulletin there. I think they saw Jesus' power. I mean, Jesus had, you know this? He had long prayers. They heard about him praying for 40 days and 40 nights and defeating Satan. And they went, I want that. They knew that he prayed all night before he picked Peter, James, John, Andrew, you. I want that kind of. They knew that Jesus spent the night in prayer when he walked on the water. Man, Lord, I don't, after 10, 15 minutes, my mind goes all over the place. And I see a connection here. Lord, give me your power. You have long prayers, but you have short prayers. You have really short prayers. You have prayers like, Father, I thank you for this food we're about to eat. And 3-4 hours later, 20,000 people get fed. I'd like to know how to pray like that. They probably haven't seen this yet, but Jesus is at Lazarus' tomb and says, Father, I know you've always heard me, and I'm really not praying out loud so that you can hear me, because I know you always hear me, but just so that they can hear me. Lazarus, come out. I want in on that. Do you? They saw Jesus' power. I think they saw Jesus' peace. Mark chapter 1, everybody Jesus touches and talks to gets healed, and then all these crowds are gathering at the door, and then Jesus gets up early in the morning and he prays, and then Peter finally finds it like, Lord, what are you doing here? There's people we need to meet. And Jesus says, we need to go to some other towns. And the Pharisees said he's demon-possessed. His family said he's crazy. His hometown tries to kill him. And here's Jesus like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps on going. I want that, don't you? How does he get that, just that sense of that strength, like a gyroscope? Ooh. then I want to talk about this for a second. Lord willing, Barb Moore's going to be here at least on Easter Sunday. And she's home this week. Hallelujah. I got to see her before the surgery. Barb was like, Pastor Ken, whatever God wants, you know, I'm just, you know, I know God's going to. And I'm thinking, this woman's on drugs because this is not an easy surgery. And so finally, you know, she's just so peaceful and loving. And I finally say, so Barb, what are you on? She says, I'm not on it. Okay, they've given you some drugs, right? No, I'm just trusting Jesus. Like, all right. Doesn't prayer do that for you? Bring you that sense of peace? And then there's power, there's peace, but also there's the presence of the Father. In this book I got half read this last week from Timothy Keller, he tells about a friend of his who back in seminary had John Murray, who some of you might know that name, just great, godly, godly man. Anyway, his friend had a problem, and he went to Dr. Murray and asked for advice. And Dr. Murray, after I guess gave some advice, says, let me pray for you. And he prayed for the student. And after Dr. Murray, and here's this, you know, seminary professor, after this professor finished praying, the seminary student thought, he knows God. My prayers are so wooden and lifeless. I mean, he came before the God of the universe and saw God in his greatness, but he also saw God in his power and his love and his mercy, and I've been in the presence of God. Do you think maybe that's how the disciples felt? Man, Jesus, when you pray, I feel God. Can you teach me how to pray like that? They also saw Jesus when he prayed, he got his purpose. He knew what he was supposed to do. And I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I don't care what you say. I'm going to get mocked. I'm going to get scourged. I'm going to get beat. Mandy shared with us on Thursday night that at YWAM, when they did their 6-month, and as soon as, because YWAM's doing kind of like what Jesus did. Like we do schooling, and then you go to get your job. But what does everybody say after, man, that's not what they taught me in school. Wow, it's not connected. Whereas YWAM's connecting it. So anyway, so for these first 3 months, they're telling them about the Father heart of God and teaching them, but they're also saying they're ministering every week. And during this time, it's like, okay, we're either going to Thailand or Nepal. You need to pray to find out which one God wants you to go to. Big difference. Lord, where do you want me to go? Mandy felt she was supposed to go to Thailand. Goes to Thailand. Now different groups went different places. Mandy felt God saying, go to this city and work with the prostitutes. She's working in the city with the prostitutes, and like each day it's like, okay, Lord, who do you want to send out tonight? Isn't that neat? And you prayed, and God led, and the disciples saying, Jesus, can you teach us that? And I think lastly, they just saw Jesus' practice. He's doing it all the time. What does he have to say? How do you do that? And so they go to him and say, Jesus, teach us to pray. That's verse 1. Verse 2. He said to them, when you pray, and fill in the blank, say. When you pray, say. And in the Greek, it's in the present tense. When you pray, keep saying. Now, okay, what's the big point of this? Mother Teresa was once asked by Dan Rather, you know, Mother Teresa, what do you say when you pray? Almost like what the disciples asked. And Mother Teresa said, I really don't talk much at all. I just listen. And so then Dan Rather said, well, so then what does God say? And Mother Teresa said, oh, he mainly listens too. Now, Buddhism and Hinduism teaches that you have to just stop desiring, and you have just to stop thinking. You just need to start becoming one. Protestant and Catholic mystics say it's the silence that's the pinnacle and the purpose. You know, like when you really fall in love and you go to a restaurant and you just look at each other, and you're just in each other's presence. Isn't that good? You with me? Now, is that biblical? Yes. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 27, verse 4, that I might gaze upon your beauty. There'll be a half an hour of silence. Absolutely, there's times. But if Janet and I go out to eat and just look in each other's eyes, and then come home and just look at each other's eyes, and the next morning just look in each other's eyes, and that night, what's going to happen to our relationship? You need words. You need to talk. And Jesus says, when you pray, do what? Say. Speak. Prayer is communication. It's a relationship. God speaks to us in His Word primarily. Read it. Pray it back to Him. Listen to what the Spirit says back to you. Whoa, it's speaking too. And then He gives what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And He says, and now I'm going to use the Lord's Prayer here because we're a little more familiar with it. And that's in Matthew chapter 6. Start off with, our Father who art in heaven. Say it with me. Our Father who art in heaven. One more time. Our Father who art in heaven. Our. Not my. Our. Mine and yours. And He wants to be yours too. I'm in this together. I'm not in this alone. This is what they prayed in the synagogue every week. And I had to Xerox it because I wanted to say it. After the sermon was preached, this is what the synagogue prayed every week. Exalted and hallowed be His great name in the world which He created, according to His will. May He let His kingdom rule in your lifetime and in your days and in the lifetime of the whole house of Israel, speedily and soon. Praised be His great name from eternity to eternity. And to this say, amen. Now, did that sound familiar? Every Saturday, every Sabbath day, they prayed, God, may Your name be glorified. May Your kingdom come. Did you hear what Jesus said? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Okay, are you catching it? Pronouns here are very important. Maybe you've seen some old medieval movies and some subject is before the king, and the king asks the subject a question, and the subject says something like this. Well, His Majesty requested, catch the pronoun, His Majesty. In other words, king, I'm not going to say you did this. I'm going to talk about you like you're not here in third person to show respect. And that's what the Jews did. Exalted and hallowed be His great name. May His kingdom come. And Jesus says, they're missing it by a pronoun. It's not personal. It's detached. It's distant. I want you to say, our Father, Your kingdom, Your will, Your name, because I'm connected to You. Hallelujah. Is that good? Well, it's good whether you think it or not. I'll tell you what else. Our Father, who art in heaven. In other words, do get still. Do get focused. Do get related. And you're in heaven. You're where the angels are singing, glory, glory, glory. Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. You're in heaven where everything's perfect and good. You're in heaven where I'm headed. You're in heaven that you want to bring down. And then the first request. Hallowed. Exalted, holy, special, be Your very name. There's a group called One Cry. It's connected with Nancy Lee DeMoss and, Life Action Ministries, I think it is. And they're pushing for churches to pray on Saturday nights for the once a week, for the coming Sunday. Once a month as a church, once a quarter with other churches, once a year with the international or the day of prayer. And there was a town out in Indiana that had a large church of 1,600 people that went through a very bad split. 800 people went one way, 800 people went the other way. And they were trying to have revival. And they're praying, and the churches are getting together, and the Holy Spirit comes down. And these Christians, some family members and friends who, because of the split, stopped talking to each other, got reconciled. They then took out a full-page ad in their local newspaper with pictures of these Christians hugging each other and grabbing hands and saying, "We have sinned against the Lord Jesus Christ and against you. Please forgive us." Well, this salesman from Ohio is going through Indiana, and he's getting near this town, and the Holy Spirit's coming on and just convicting him like crazy, and he stops his car at the town limits, and he feels, "God, I got to get right with you. I don't know what's going on, but I got to get right with you now." And he prays, and he gets things right with the Lord, and he stops at his first gas station and says, "Something's going on. What's going on?" And this gas station attendant, who was not a Christian, said, "Haven't you heard? God's here." You see, when we live for Jesus, His name gets exalted in our lives. His name gets exalted in others' lives. Hallowed be your name, Father, please. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And then, thy kingdom. Jesus is a king. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He has been sending out his disciples to say, "Preach, repent, turn. The kingdom of God is near. You've been preaching it. Now start praying it. Pray for God's kingdom to come here and now. Pray for it to come in the future." 1790, Great Awakening, Second Great Awakening. The church believed, and I don't think this is the correct teaching, but it is the absolutely correct application. They believed Jesus was going to come back any minute. That's correct. But they thought it would be after the millennium, or they'd bring in the millennium. But the good thing is they thought Jesus could come back any minute. And they thought, not only do I need to get right, if Jesus comes back today and I have slaves, what will Jesus say? If Jesus comes back today, what's he going to say about my drinking and the bars and the theaters? If Jesus comes back today, what's he going to say about women's rights and voting? And so Christians were motivated to change society because they believed Jesus could come back today. Can Jesus come back today? Yeah. Are you ready? Amen. One of you is. Yeah, are. Whatever. This week, it was so neat. Just meditating on that. Lord, if you would come back today. Now, I can't do everything, but what do you want me to do today? It was incredible. Got this sermon done earlier in the week than ever before. And then I got to go out and visit and share Jesus. Like, thy kingdom come today. Help me live it today. And then thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How's it done in heaven? Perfectly, completely, with a good attitude. Obedience is doing what God says when he says it, how to do it, and with a good attitude. Stacy, could you stand up? No, you won't be alone. Lee, could you stand up too? Joe, could you stand up? Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. You know what these three are going to do today?
Going to shave their head.
Yeah, go, yeah. Now, not my will, but your will be done. I don't know, Lee, was it hard to make? Yeah. No. Stacy, was it hard? Joe was hard? Neat! All right, go ahead and sit down. That's so awesome. Not my will, but your will be done. Lord, whatever you want. And this is to raise money for cancer patients. Hallelujah. Isn't that neat? Now, Steve, you're going to be shaving when? First day of spring. Different, but not as extreme, right? I'm not sure what that meant. Okay. Dave, I feel like the monitors are on or something. I'm getting a little bit of feedback up here. So, not my will. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Not my kingdom, your kingdom. Your will be done, not my will be done. Amen? So the first half of the Lord's Prayer focuses on the Lord and helps us get our heart right. Now, this next part is really neat. It's the first half prepares our heart. And got this from Timothy Keller's book, Prayer. A World Magazine says it is the best book on prayer. I'll tell you what, it really helped me. And he went back to Augustine, who lived from 350 to 400-something, and Martin Luther lived from 1480 to 15-something. And it's like, okay, he's going back to these guys, but whoa. Augustine and Luther both said, in order to really pray, you have to lead your heart. Augustine had a lady named Anisha write to him and say, I need to learn how to pray. And he says, you get your heart right and you'll be able to pray anything you want. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so this is what Augustine said, so wise. He said, what you think about, what you worry about, that is where you think life is. And you have to reorder your loves, reorder your heart. So, okay, let's say you think life's about financial security. Are you motivated to pray when everything's going well? Nope. You have life. You have what you need. Then this medical bill comes in, or you lose your job, or some kind of financial. All of a sudden now, what are you doing? You're praying like crazy. Why? Because your life is being threatened. But if you believe God's going to supply, God's going to give, God's going to protect you. Oh, you believe family is your life. As long as your family's okay and they're nearby and everything's going well, are you motivated to pray? No, because your life's okay. But all of a sudden, your kids move away or they get cancer or they get in trouble with the law. You're praying like crazy. Why? Because that's your life. But if you realize your biggest need is your kingdom come, your will be done, you'll be motivated to pray all the time. Isn't that good? And then Luther said, you have to ignite your heart. You have to ignite your heart. And what he would do, he spent 2 hours every day in prayer. And people said when he came out of his prayer time, he was bold. It was just, you could see this difference. Oh, this one famous quote was, I have so much to do today, I need to spend 3 hours in prayer. In other words, I have to do another whole hour. And he says, you have to ignite your heart. And what he would do, he would quote a scripture, maybe the Lord's Prayer, or maybe the Ten Commandments, or the Beatitudes, or a psalm, and he would quote it, and for us, maybe we just need to read it, or maybe sing a song, but he would read it, and reread it, and until finally his heart was on fire. And then he was ready. George Mueller, who just saw amazing things, says, the first thing you need to do when you go to God in prayer is to get happy in his presence. And that's what Martin Luther was doing. He was getting happy in God's presence by quoting scripture. And then secondly, he said, you need to guide your heart. He said, it's four strands. Read a small section of scripture and first look at it as a school book. What is it saying? Paraphrase it. Secondly, turn the Bible from a school book into a hymn book and praise it back to God. Wow, Lord, I see and hear you are my Father. I have access to you through Christ. Whew. Pray praise be to your name. And you just don't want to be my father. You want to be other people's father. And you just start praising God. And then, so you have a school book, you have a hymn book, and then you turn it into like a diary, a confession book, a journal, and say, oh, Lord, I don't pray enough. Father, I don't pray with others enough. Lord, help me to see that we have a father-son, father-daughter relationship. And then turn it into a prayer book. Lord, I now pray for so-and-so. May you become their father. And the third thing, I love this. Martin Luther said, ignite your heart, guide your heart, and let the Holy Spirit preach to you. When you're in that quiet time or any time during the day, and all of a sudden you're getting thoughts that aren't your thoughts, and you're getting this fire that's not your fire, stop and let the Holy Spirit work. That's the first half of the prayer. Let's look at the second half then. This we pray for ourselves. Give us this day our daily bread. When we really start focusing on the kingdom and glorifying God's name, what are we going to pray for? Just daily bread. Just my needs. That's all. And to pray for needs, we're then praying for jobs. For praying for jobs, we're praying for a just society. To have a just society, we need a revived society, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The Greek is so neat because it has very specific word or tenses. Here's how it reads in Greek. Forgive us our trespasses as we keep forgiving those who trespass against us. That is really sharp. Forgive us our debts as we keep forgiving our debtors. Let's look at the getting forgiveness with God first. In the Old Testament, if you and I sinned, this is what we'd do. We'd take our lamb to the priest. We'd lay our hand on top of his head and we'd confess our sins. And then I'm not sure if we slit the throat or the priest slit the throat and the little guy died. And then we would take the lamb and put him up on the altar, and the priest would take the blood and splat it around the altar. How long would that take? I don't know, 5, 10, 15 minutes, the burning part, another half an hour? I'm not sure. It took time, it takes time for God to forgive, but it takes time for you and I to receive. Sorry, man. What a baptism. And then after the whole offering was burnt, guess what? We took another lamb. Laid our hands on it, slit its throat. Burnt it. Now wait a minute, what do you need a second lamb for? The first lamb was forgiveness. What was the second lamb for? Anybody know what was it called? It was called a whole burnt offering. In other words, God, I just don't want you to forgive me. I want you to live in me, and I want to be a total sacrifice for you. And that's another half an hour. Lord, forgive me for my sins. And we move on. Stop. Lord, forgive me. On the basis of the Lamb of God, of Jesus Christ, his shed blood, he has sacrificed more than I can ever repay, and confess that sin and stop and ask for that forgiveness. But it's wonderful. Forgive. Period. Point in time. Final. It's over. It's done. Are you with me? Is that good? But forgive me. Bam! As I keep forgiving my transgressors. I'm a morning person. I happen to marry somebody who's not. So this morning, as we see each other And I forget myself. I've been with the Lord now for about an hour and a half, and I'm happy, and I'm very awake. And Janet comes through the first time, and I go, "Good morning!" And I go, and she goes, "Does that sound fun?" See? And see, now in my mind, it's like, can't she even say good morning? In her mind, doesn't he know I just woke up? How hard is that to get, Ken? But it is. And then I'm downstairs in the kitchen. And I say, "Hey, why'd you get this?" And she says, she's up in the bathroom, "Hey, if you want to talk to me, come up here." And I think, how come that works when I'm down here, but when I'm up there, you're the one yelling to me. "Father, forgive my transgressions as I keep forgiving my transgressors." As I keep forgiving. That person hasn't sinned against me, but I'm irritated with them. That person hasn't sinned against me, but I'm frustrated. Well, forgive. Amen? And I think we have an easier time forgiving the big stuff. We need to live in an attitude. Keep forgiving, because it's going to keep happening over and over and over again. Give us this day our daily bread, basic needs. Forgive us our trespasses, our relationship with you, as we forgive others, our relationship with others. And lead us not into temptation. Lord, this world is too evil. Satan is too smart, and I'm too weak. The Pharisees didn't think they sinned. Christ followers need to know we sin all the time, and we need help. This last week I heard of two different brothers, and I'm not going to say their names, one nationally, internationally known, another one that you guys know, who fell. Satanists are praying for us Christians to fall. Are we as Christians praying that we'll stand? Because like Bob said, we are in a war. And then it ends with, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." That helps us refocus. That's right, God. You're still on the throne. You're still on the throne. You still have a kingdom. You still have glory. That increases our faith. It increases our gratitude. Lord, yes, for thine is the kingdom. It's about you. It's not about me. And now we know from what Jesus said the night before he died, we're to do one more thing. How are we to end our prayers? In Jesus' name. This last week, Barry and Ron were having a Bible study here at the office church, and you always feel impolite not to say hi, but you always feel like you're being impolite to interrupt too. But anyway, so I just stopped in and said hi. And they were talking about praying in Jesus' name. Barry said, "I don't think I do that enough." And Ron's reading a book by Andrew Murray. It's like six books put together. And Andrew Murray says, praying in Jesus' name is like this. It's like a guy who may be a clerk at a store. And the owner of the store, the business owner, leaves. That clerk has that business owner's name, has that business owner's authority. That's what it is to pray in Jesus' name, to pray in his authority. And it's also to live in his authority and his purity. And praying in Jesus' name means something else. R.A. Torrey was president of Moody back late 1800s. Great pastor, preacher, and he was doing some kind of like revival, and somebody handed him a note before he went up into the pulpit. And the note said this: "I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian and a member of my church for 30 years. I've been the Sunday school superintendent for the last 20 years. I've been an elder of my church for the last 10 years, and I've been praying to God over some issues, and he doesn't answer me. Can you tell me why?" How'd you like to get that right before you get up to speak? And R.A. Torrey said, read the question, said, "This individual is coming to God in his name and not Jesus's." He's looking at what he has done versus what Jesus has done. And after the sermon, this guy came up to him and said, "You hit the nail on the head." When Jesus prayed, what did he pray? He always prayed, "Father," except for one time. Do you know what that one time was? When he was on the cross, and he had to say, "My God, my God." He stopped having his Father as his Father so we could call him Father. Whoa! In Jesus' name. And I love Jesus. He is so big. He is so broad. He is so wide. And I'm just talking humanly now for a second. If you have a friend, if you have a real friend, your friend's going to irritate you. Your friend's going to confuse you. Your friend's going to be frustrating to you at times because we are multifaceted. We got a lot of different dimensions. If that's true with humans, what is true of Jesus, the perfect human and fully God? He is big. And so after he tells us this, then he tells us two stories. And if you really want to wrestle with those two stories, like, "Jesus, I'm sorry, I don't get it. You're saying two opposite things. What am I supposed to do here?" And so Jesus tells two stories. There's a man who has a friend come at night, and he's out of food. So he goes and knocks on his other friend's house and says, "Please, I had a friend come in. Can I borrow? In other words, I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to give you, I just need 3 loaves of bread." And back then, loaves of bread were about the size of your fist, but they're kind of flat. And the guy in bed is a jerk. Come on, he's a jerk. I mean, understand, back then houses were like 20 by 20. The guy was maybe 10 feet away from the front door. They could talk to each other. It's not like he's upstairs in his bedroom with the door closed and I can't hear and I have to walk all the way down the steps to see who's ringing my doorbell. No. They're having a conversation. He's already awake. Like, big deal, you got to get up and move the chain over to let, oh. And in Jewish Palestinian culture, hospitality is duty number one. And if you have a friend come and you don't have food, you are required to do whatever you have to do to get food. And if you have a friend who has a friend who came, you as a community have to help this person get bread. This guy who's saying, he's a jerk. Is God a jerk? Sometimes he feels like a jerk, right? Doesn't he? Like, "Lord, why don't you answer? What are you doing?" And then Jesus says this, and this is the thing that starts making your head spin around. He says, "I'll tell you what, the guy who's a jerk," Jesus didn't use that word, "the guy who's a jerk isn't going to get up because they're friends. He's going to get up because that man keeps going, 'Please, please, please, I need bread, please, please.'" And so then Jesus says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Because if you keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking, you'll receive and the door will be open. So I have it in the fill in the blank. No lazy prayers. No lazy prayers. But that's not quite it. Because our Father is not a jerk. And Jesus tells us that in the second part. He said, which of you, if your son asks for a fish that's silvery and has scales and flops around, will give him a snake that looks maybe a little bit the same, but that won't bite you? And which of you, if your son asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Do you know that scorpions roll up into balls to protect themselves? And there are things called white scorpions. And so they look like an egg, but they're not. And if you, being evil, know how to good gifts, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you what you need, especially the Holy Spirit? Wait a minute, Lord. When I hear the first story, it sounds like I'm supposed to beg and plead and until my knuckles are bloody. And then when I read the second story, is okay, I just need to know that you're good and you're going to give me what I need. How do I put those two together? Jake Anderson was at Mandy's thing on Thursday night. And I said, Anderson. Yeah, it's like your brother, Jake Jones. I'm sorry. I wonder why you didn't look up at me. Jake Jones was, and I don't know what I guess talking about raising your support. And Jake said, if I had $1 million, you know what I'd do? I'd give $500,000 to Haiti. And then he said, and with the other $500,000, I'd buy $500,000 toy. Jesus is saying, one, I don't want you to be lazy, and two, I want you to have faith. I don't want you to have unbelief. But as I meditated on this, since I wrote this thing, it's deeper than that. He's saying, I want you to be desperate, and I want you to be dependent. And I want you to be both at the same time. Let's suppose in our prayer meeting today, or you're in a Bible study, or we're just here at church, and we say we're going to just pray around and pray for our family, or, hey, I just want you all just to pray for your family. I want you to pray for your kids. And, okay, you pray for your child, you know, okay, Lord, whatever. You know, just bless them, help them. May they make the right choices in life. And it's just kind of a general prayer. But suppose your daughter was in Haiti. And with the political unrest, and because she is white, she is grabbed from the compound. The team sees her brutally raped over and over again, then drug out into the woods. Now, when we say, let's pray for your kids, how are you going to pray? You're going to pray with desperation. You're going to pray with, Lord, please, please save her. Keep her. Lord, help those guys to be caught. Keep her life. Please, there'll be a greater. Why don't we have that kind? Because we don't believe we have a need. That man banging on the door knew he had a need. And when we start focusing on Jesus and the kingdom and the power and the spirit, we begin realizing, I have a need. That's the desperate part. The dependence part is, Lord, I want $500,000 toys. My heart's not right all the time. And the more I seek you, the better my heart gets. Prayer makes it safe for God to give us what we need. Prodigal father could have bailed out the prodigal son in the pig pen, could have sent him a check, could have sent him food. Wouldn't help the prodigal, would it? He had to wait until that prodigal was desperate. And then he said, all right, not only am I going to give you food, I'm going to give you a ring, I'm going to give you a rope, I'm going to give you shoes, I'm going to welcome you back, because now you're safe to give to. We need to get desperate. I'm going to close with this. You know, Jesus says, Old Testament says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact will be confirmed. Last Sunday, Cliff Swanger is reading a devotional. He says, look at this. And it was exactly what Mandy talked about. It's okay. About unreached peoples. And Mandy shared on Thursday night that the number was 2.4 billion. I don't know. 2.6 billion. How long ago? Do you remember? Okay, so 6 months ago. So 6 months ago, it was 2.6 billion unreached. Today, 6 months later, it's 2.8. They're having kids, and we're not sending, and we're not going. And so then Cliff says, look at this, this devotional, and it said, like something, same thing it means, saying a third of the world has, I think almost half of the world has never even heard the name of Jesus. And we say, well, you know, people are resistant, and the population's growing. He said, well, there was this guy who only had $50 and had this product, basically sugar water, and he made it, and he went bankrupt his first year, but now 100-some years later, everybody knows the name of in 100 years, we've marketed sugar water. And in 2,000 years, we haven't spread the name of Jesus. That was Sunday. Monday, Tom let me see the video that we're going to see next week about the unreached people. Of every 30 missionaries we send, only one goes to unreached people. For every $100 we raise, only one penny goes to unreached people. It's not like what we're doing over here is wrong. No, keep doing that, but we need to add to it. And then yesterday, one of you sent me a text and said, I'm paraphrasing or adding to it, but here was the point. When we stand before Jesus Christ and the world is being judged at the great white throne judgment, and they say that right now 15 billion people have walked this planet. There's 7 billion now, 7 people have lived. 15 billion people. And suppose one third of them are saved. When we see 10 billion people go to hell, what will we say? We need to start knocking. Not because God's a jerk, because we're in need. We need to get both desperate and dependent. We need to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we keep forgiving those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, make us desperate. And make us dependent. Make us desperate for you and your kingdom and your will to be done. Make us desperate for souls to be saved, for souls to grow. Make us desperate for the Holy Spirit to come. When Jesus said that, these guys are thinking in terms of, oh, the Holy Spirit, that's just for like King David or Moses. And Jesus, no, he's for you. Lord, if we really would see how much we need you, we'd get desperate and we'd get dependent. Hallelujah. And Father, I want to thank you. Not that we can do more, but thank you with our own missionaries. Tim and Kathy Husk on Papua New Guinea, so that those who are unreached will get the language, the Bible in their own language. And then the Gudeman is reaching Muslim women who are here in the States. Thank you. And Riley Claus is going somewhere where we can't mention, but to work with refugees where there's very, very few Christians. Hallelujah. And Lord, put on our hearts those who you want us to reach, our friends, our neighbors, our family, our co-workers. Make us desperate for their salvation, Lord. Pray what is on your heart. Ask God to forgive you on the basis of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ask Him to fill you with the Spirit to go in renewed power and dedication. If you've not asked Jesus to come into your life, know that you really can't call Him Father yet. He wants to be. So you need to say, "Lord Jesus, I need you. Forgive me. You died. You rose again. Take over. Forgive my sins. And help me seek first your kingdom and your righteousness." Please, if you're praying that, see me afterwards. I want to encourage you in your faith. Lord, use today. Make us desperate. Make us dependent. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. We're going to take our offering. Bless you. Thanks for giving. If you're a first-time guest, please drop in that yellow card and let's stand up and worship our God. I'll be up front. If you need prayer, let's get desperate.
Saves me. Day and night I cry out before you.
May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry.
Hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven. From heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven. your people crying out in desperation. Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people. Crying out in desperation.
You're the God of the city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light of this darkness. You're the hope of the hopeless. You're the peace of the restless. You are. There is no one like our God.
But I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need the Spirit to set me on fire. This song talks about that, just asking the Spirit to set us on fire.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the dark is shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine. Shine, Jesus. gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness. Ever changing from glory to glory, mirror, here may our lives tell your story.
Grab hands, shoulders. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 We'll pray for that too. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you and we just sang, flood over the nations, Lord, and that includes our nation. You put whoever you want into the throne, you say. You set up thrones and you take down thrones, and you put the king's heart wherever you want it to be. And Lord, please, you also say in Daniel, you also appoint sometimes the basest of men. Lord, do not give us who we deserve. Give us who we need. Lord, please, in Jesus' name, give us a person who will become, if they're not godly now, they'll become godly. And Lord, help us as Christians to be the salt and light and not to depend upon our government, but also help us to do what we're supposed to do for our government. We pray for fresh fire for our government, for those who know you, Lord. Help them to stand up on your word and not to be afraid. Please, please, please show us how to vote, Lord. It's beyond us. May we cast our ballots the way we're supposed to, and Lord, please work it out. But give us, Lord, thank you for Wayne's just heart. You can see it. That sense of desperation. Bring revival. Lord, please. And thank you that today, all the folks that brought food, and just help us to fellowship as a family. And then, Lord, you know who you're calling. Please help us to hear who you want us to stay and to pray. And maybe just get a little closer or further. Lord, I want to pray specifically. I thank you for Barb Moore coming home. Hallelujah. Just so neat. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we thank you for calling Mandy into full-time ministry. Thank you. Please, you'll go ahead of her. We pray for Debbie McLaughlin's dad. Prostate cancer. They moved the prostate, but it's not all taken away yet. So please, Lord, protect his life. Debbie would like to see him with his now great-grandkids coming in. Lord, please, heal. Barb Fabinac's mom. Thank you for Nancy. Thank you for her walk with you. And she had more or less a pain-free week. Thank you. Lord, we ask that you do a move. Help us to pray and to seek you and keep knocking, because you aren't the jerk. You're the good Father. Make us desperate so we can be. I love that sentence. So that prayer makes it safe for you to give us what we need. Thank you, Lord. Take a 30 seconds here. Pray back to the Father what is on your heart. He hears you. It's good to be in your presence, Father. It is good to be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's good to be on fire by the Holy Spirit. Use the rest of today. Thank you for the food that's downstairs and the hands that prepared it like we pray. Bless the fellowship. Help us to reach out to maybe those we don't know too well. Or all of us who can stay, help us to stay, because they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Thank you. Let's pray now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Mandy, I would like you